Joining us now, we call him the Symetra Tour Commissioner. He's Mike Nichols. Mike, welcome into the golf shop.
Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, so I got to ask you a question right out of the gate here. Have you guys been contacted by any drought-ridden regions that say, we want the Symetra Tour to come on over so it will rain?
Yeah, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. It's crazy. We have a knack for bringing rain. We actually, a couple years ago, it was four or five years ago probably, we were in Los Angeles, and we had to play. They had had a drought for something like 6 years or something, no joke. And they were under those conditions, and we had to actually play into Monday to finish 36 holes. It was supposed to be a 54-hole tournament. We had to play all day Monday to get 36 in. And if I had another person in Los Angeles come up to me and say, you wouldn't believe how long it's been since we've had rain, I mean, my head was going to explode. I was like, I didn't want to hear it anymore. It was just crazy. But, yeah, we're going on our second consecutive week of Monday finishes here in Florida. So, you know, I was saying to somebody, imagine that during hurricane season. Who could believe it would rain down here?
Well, and this is a home game. You guys are playing right in Daytona Beach and facing some of what the Web.com Tour faced last week, trying to get their championship in and having to figure it out. So the decision has been made, I guess. I can get through the context clues here that you guys are going to play on Monday regardless. I mean, we have not everybody has finished their first round, correct?
Correct. We haven't finished the first round. We only played 2 hours on Thursday, so that sort of bumped everything back, and there was just no way to get 72 holes in even by the end of the day Monday. So we're finishing on Monday, and weather pattern looks to be improving, but the challenge, as I was saying to somebody, is, you know, having grown up in the Northeast, you kind of always knew what the weather was going to be like 4 days before it got there because you just kind of watched it march across the country. But when you live on the east coast of Florida, you kind of don't know what's swirling out there. But weather forecast is improving, and it looks like we'll get all done by on Monday and hand out the 10 cards to the next generation of LPGA players.
Well, you lead right into my next question, because this is such an important event for so many people. And sure, the Volvic race for the card, you know, the top 6, 7, maybe even 8 cards feel like they've been decided. But when you're talking about those next 2 or 3, it is hotly contested. I mean, I sort of, you know, selfishly or maybe optimistically looked at our local player, Allison Emery, sitting in 20th. And if she wins the event and a couple of other things happen, she can go from 20th to 10th and earn her card. She might even be able to go to 9th. So when you are looking at that and you combine it with the weather and all those kinds of things and sort of celebrating the end, how do you envision this playing out? And how many of those cards are really in question at this point?
So I would say realistically, like when we ran the numbers, like you can statistically lock number through number 5. But after that, you can come up with scenarios where 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 aren't locked. Now, but all that having been said, the likelihood of both of anybody above 8 being knocked out is highly unlikely, just because it would have to be a situation where, you know, numbers 11, 12, and 13 would have to come in first, second, or third or something like that to knock out number 8. So in reality, 1 through 8 probably are in pretty good shape. But, you know, number 8 right now is winning the tournament. Number 10 is coming in second. So sort of in Allison's specific situation of having to win, she would also need sort of 8, 9, and 10 not to play well. And that's not the case. The players who are in the top 10 right now, I think, you know, 7 of the top 10 are under par or something like that. So it's they're playing. The top players continue to play well, which is, you know, especially I was looking at number Emma Talley, who played at Alabama. She's number 10 on the money list, and she would be a player you think might be feeling the heat and a little bit nervous. And she's, you know, in the clubhouse with her first round finish at 4 under, 1 shot off the lead. So if she's feeling the heat, she sure didn't show it yesterday.
Mike, I'm a big give credit where credit's due kind of person. And over the last several years on this tour, for me, the level of play has gone up tremendously. I feel like the 10 players that are getting their cards the past few years really have the opportunity to take that jump and compete with the best of the best on the LPGA Tour. Is this kind of what you've seen and been building over the last few years? Because I'm really seeing it from a fan's perspective.
Oh, Michael, take the credit where credit is due.
Well, I think it's actually, to be honest with you, it's probably a couple of things. I think that when Mike started with us there with the event in Charlotte, I think we had about 15 events, and we're now up. Last year we played 23. This year we played 22. So I think anytime you play more tournaments, you're going the quality of player that you graduate is gonna be a better player. You know, I would say back when we had 15 events, if you only had you could have played well for 3 weeks and gotten your card, which is certainly not the intent. You know, you want somebody to sort of have a nice body of work. And even last year, we had a player who won a tournament on our tour not finish in the top 10. So while that's, you know, that wasn't the result she was looking for, I said, you know, now we're to the point where just winning a tournament doesn't get you out there. You can't kind of have one good week. So I think there's the fact that we're playing more, which, you know, helps identify better players. But secondarily, you know, nobody on our tour at this point is going to get rich. But last year, Madeline Sagstrom won $150,000 as the leading money winner on tour. And this year, we're going to graduate three players minimally who have over $100,000 in earnings. So again, nobody's getting rich, but if you're a player who's an international player and wants to play on the LPGA tour, and for whatever reason, you know, I sort of call it the Russian roulette of Q school, you know, you have to play five rounds in Florida conditions, and maybe it's not, you know, you're coming off an injury or your putter's cold or whatever the case might be. You know, if you're an international player and you think you're one of the best, you can come over here and you're going to make a little bit of money. You're not going to make a killing, but you'll know at the end of a 22-event season that you're going to be an LPGA Tour member. So I think it's the combination of we're playing more tournaments, and now that we've gotten sort of the purses and the prize money up to a more respectable level, the quality of players that's coming is there. And as you can see in our top five right now, on the money list, there five different countries are represented. So I think it's sort of those are the two main factors that have contributed to us graduating higher quality talent.
Well, I was gonna say there are seven different countries currently in the top 10 that are gonna earn their cards. So that speaks volumes about this tour and the attractiveness of getting over here and giving it a go, as opposed to maybe, you know, strictly going through a Q school type scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly, like I said, I certainly want to be subject to the whims of Q school. For those people who don't know, our Q school is contested over two different golf courses, five rounds at LPGA International the week after Thanksgiving. And, you know, as somebody who grew up playing golf in the Northeast, you know, the greens are Bermuda, the rough is Bermuda. I've, you know, to this day, 40 whatever years later, am no better chipping out of Bermuda than the day that I arrived in Florida 30 years ago.
So, I hear you.
You know, if that's not your grass or it's not the style of golf course you lose, you have no choice but to play there if you're going through the final stage of Q school. Whereas over a 22 event season, you can have a bad month, you know, you can work through some changes, you can go home and work with your coach and do those kinds of things and still have time to recover and have a good year. So I think that's what we've always felt with the Symetra Tour, is you're the quality of the player. Once we got the tour to where we want it to be, the quality of the player that we're going to graduate from the Symetra Tour, you're going to have a better chance of seeing success there versus the player who maybe, you know, gets lucky or unlucky during that five-round final stage of Q school.
Well, we're talking to our good friend Mike Nichols. He's the chief business officer or the commissioner of the LPGA Symetra Tour. And Mike, you know, obviously we talked about the quality of play rising and the number of tournaments and the purses. Do you feel like the tour itself has reached a level of buoyancy, or is there still room to grow in terms of the number of tournaments? You know, we, of course, missed having you guys back in North Carolina this past year. But when you get to a certain point of 24, 25, 26, do you start to look at it and say, okay, we've reached our good spot. Now the sweet spot is there. Now let's just increase the purses on those events, not necessarily go to 28 or 30.
Yeah, we don't feel that there's really any need to go beyond sort of where we are now. You know, like I said, we were at 23 last year, 22 this year, could go to 24, but I don't see us ever going to a situation where we would play more than 25 times, because I think we feel like in looking at the last couple of years where we played 23, now 22 events, that we're graduating a quality crop of players. And so, you know, obviously for the players who are playing very well, you know, it's just an opportunity to make more money. But for, you know, the players on our tour, like I said, aren't making a ton of money. A lot of them, you know, are having to dip into savings or look for the support of parents or things like that to keep them going. So for that group of people, we're not looking to sort of add more expense to their to their sort of cost of pursuing their dream. Because for some players, it takes a couple of years to do it. And the last thing we want to do is, you know, scare off players who might need an extra year or two with, you know, additional expenses. So I think we're where we want to be. We've had a fairly consistent, solid schedule the last couple of years. So there's a need to chase tournaments and new prospects that was there when we had 15 events. It isn't there. Do we have a little bit of turnover year to year? Absolutely, like virtually every tour, with the exception, I would say, the PGA Tour. But, you know, I think we're at a place right now where we're comfortable and just really focusing on growing purses.
Yeah, and Mike, you talk about the earning potential of the players and it, you know, more events, more opportunity, but also more expense for travel and things like that. So, you know, we're going to have Jackie Stolting on after you, and she's in her second run, I think, on the big tour. Made about $100,000 this year, conditional status for next year, trying to decide about Q school. But I look back now at, you know, 5 or 6 years ago when you guys arrived here in Charlotte, there are still some players who played here that first year who are kicking around on the Symetra Tour. And, you know, whether they are independently wealthy or they've just got enough support or they're managing to make it work with off-season employment, it's not easy. And are you seeing that as the level of play goes up, the number of people who have to cycle out? It's a tough question. The number of players who have to cycle out because they just can't compete financially or on the course is growing. I mean, I'm seeing more and more GoFundMe pages for players who've been on the Symetra Tour for 4, 5, even 6 years to try to continue to chase the dream. Are you seeing that as the level of play goes up and the number of tournaments and everything else, that you're going to see more turnover by the players who decide the dream is over?
It's hard for me to sort of project out, but I would say that sort of on average, and this is the completely anecdotal, really haven't run the numbers, but I feel like we see a turnover of about a third of our membership every year. So, you know, a field of, you know, 144 players, when we show up at the beginning of the year, I look around, there's probably about 50 players who I haven't seen, and the other 100 who I recognize. But I think it's, you know, you look and you say, gosh, a player's been out there for a, you know, like you said, 5 or 6 years, when are they going to give it up? It's like, if this has been your dream your whole life, you know, from the time that you were 5 and you always dreamed of playing on the LPGA Tour, and you know, you look at your scoring average and say, gosh, you know, do I give up now, or, you know, just try to spend, you know, the off season again, trying to shave that half a stroke to one stroke, whatever is the difference between me being, you know, in the top 10 or finishing at number 30 or whatever the case might be. That's a hard thing. I mean, I never was a professional athlete who had to chase it, and have always sort of, you know, there's gradual progressions of those of us in the business world where you kind of just keep moving up the corporate ladder. But, you know, it's very black or white in professional sports. You're either on the LPGA Tour or not. But, you know, if that's all you've pursued, at what point do you say, okay, that's it? And, you know, for whatever reason, some of those players still feel they have a chance. I mean, a couple years ago, a player on our tour, Mo Martin, we always point to, is a player you might have looked and said, you know, Mo, you've been out here for 5 or 6 years. Maybe it's time to give it up. Well, you know, she graduated to the LPGA Tour and ended up winning the Ricoh Women's British Open, one of our majors. So you never know what the time clock is. And I think that, you know, players like Mo give those other players the hope that, you know, maybe I'm the next Mo Martin.
Yeah, you know, and before we let you go, what are the things that you guys do kind of behind the scenes to help prepare these women for that next step? I mean, you're going to graduate 10 more players to the LPGA Tour. You know, what do you guys do to help prepare them for that next level?
Well, it's funny, and it's a great sort of segue to your conversation with Jackie coming up, but as you mentioned, you know, earlier in my tenure with the tour, it seemed like we had a lot of players coming back. We sat down with a group of players who played exceedingly well the year before in the Symetra Tour, came to the LPGA, and didn't have success up there. So we sat down with about a half a dozen of them at the end of the season and said, what is it that, you know, you find that when you come from the Symetra Tour to the LPGA Tour, what's the biggest difference? And the number one thing, and I've asked numerous players this question since then, the number one thing they said is the amount of time they have to prepare on the LPGA Tour. And you can even ask Jackie this, she was a part of that group. On the Symetra Tour, with our tournaments not starting till Friday, we have pro-ams in some cases on Wednesday and Thursday. Players can come out and travel Monday, practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. When you get out on the LPGA Tour, the tournaments start on Thursday. The pro-am is on Wednesday. Monday is usually a travel day where you're flying. So Tuesday is only the first full round practice day. Maybe you get an emergency 9 in on Monday, but for those players that are out there as rookies, that's the only time they get to get out on that golf course is Monday, Tuesday, and then the next time they're out there is on Thursday. So when I started with the tour, we sort of held practice days as sacred and wanted to make sure the players had as much time to practice as they could. And the players were like, on the Symetra Tour, you get used to having so much free time, and you go to movies and do some shopping, and you might practice, hit some balls, way more time. You know, so we've actually spent a little bit more time trying to condense the week on the Symetra Tour, because that's been the resounding thing that the players have said. And like I said, Jackie was a part of that group that said, you know, it's very hard as a rookie to get out there, you know, learn where you need to go and, you know, get familiar with the golf course 2 days before you have to play it.
Well, Mike, man, we always love catching up with you, and we love following the Symetra Tour. Keep things going, and we'll be watching.
Stay dry.
But yeah, so we'll try to stay dry. Guys, enjoyed being with you, and look forward to catching up again in the future.